Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by, sweet prayer, and for the good song service that he's allowed us to have this morning, and the fellowship that we've enjoyed. Just so thankful for each of you that are here, and we love you, and thank the Lord for this little gathering of believers at this place one more time. And I believe we've met to worship the Lord. Brethren, we've met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. I pray that he will bless us to truly do that. If you have your Bibles this morning, I've had a passage of scripture that's been on my mind for a couple days, and it's found in the writings of the Apostle Paul to the preacher, the minister Titus, in the book of Titus. Titus is a short book in the Bible, but it's so filled, as all of the Bible is, with the wonderful truth of God and wonderful instruction that the Lord would bless us to be able to share that this morning and share a portion of it. It would be a blessing and beneficial to all of us. I feel led to go to this passage, and that's what I try to do each time I come before the Lord's people. I beg that the Lord would lead me, as Brother London said in his prayer, to the passage of Scripture that you need and that I need today. And in order to know what we need, the best place to go is to the Lord. If we try to figure it out on our own, or I try to figure it out for you or you for me, we're going to come up short. But if we all together pray to the Lord, Lord, bless our minister, bless our church meeting today, that we might be fed from thy table just what we need. And dear Lord, give us not only the food, but give us the appetite. You know, you can have a lot of food in front of you, but if you have no appetite, the food does you no good. I'm sure today in the Word of God we've got a lot of food, don't you? I don't think we have to question about that. But I know sometimes my appetite is not what it ought to be spiritually. Sometimes I've been so wrapped up in the things of this world, and I've had my mind on so many other things, that I just don't have the same hunger and the same thirst that I had felt in the past. I ask you today, and I'm looking at myself also, may we examine ourselves today and say, Lord, make me hungry. Make me thirsty. Lord, give me that desire as a newborn babe for the milk of its mother. May I desire the sincere milk of the Word today that I might grow. When God's little children are praying and they're hungry, the Lord blesses the preaching. Even in spite of the preacher. Even when he's in the way. The Lord doesn't have any trouble straightening up the preacher. The Lord doesn't have any trouble doing that which he's pleased to do. And when God's little children cry out for help, I believe the Lord hears them. I believe he will answer that cry, and I believe he will supply just what we stand in need of. And so please pray for me and pray for one another as we look at chapter 3 in the book of Titus. Here's the writing of the Apostle Paul to Titus. And he's told Titus that he's commanded him, he's instructed him, that there are some things that he ought to do. Paul spoke as an apostle, and he spoke as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to Titus, there are some things that you ought to do here at Crete. There was a calling that God had given him that he was supposed to do. And he's laying out that instruction. He's not only giving it to Titus, he's giving it to us. As sure as the Apostle Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you also are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that we're not our own, that we don't belong to ourselves. We don't like that sometimes to think about that, but that's the truth. We belong to the Lord. You've been bought with a price. Your body's not just your body. There's so much saying, this is my body and I can do what I want to with my body. And you hear that loudly exclaimed in the world today. The Bible tells us as God's little children, let's hope and pray we are among that family, that people, that elect family of God who understand that we're not our own. We're servants. We've been bought with a price. And so we are, as he says over there in 1 Corinthians 6, and there's instruction that comes after that instruction. Let me turn to that real quick, 1 Corinthians 6. He says in verse 19, and this is after he's laid out about the sin of fornication and how grievous that sin was in the sight of God and how that we're not to be involved in that and that we'll stay away from that. And he lays that out. He says, here's the reason. He says, what? Know ye not? This is verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6. He says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means the Spirit of God, if you've been born again, has taken up His abode in your heart. And this is also talking to us as a church today, that we're responsible to God for our actions and our behaviors. That we don't have the right just to say, I'm who I am and I can do anything I want to. I can live any way I want to. I can conduct my life in any way we want to. We can do that to a degree in that the Lord may suffer us to do that. But I'll tell you, we're on dangerous ground, are we not, when we just ignore the Lord. You know, sometimes we want to say, well, I'll just act like God never did anything for me and I'll just go on and live in this world. Brethren, do not get caught up in that lie. Because there is an accountability that each of us will have daily. As we stand before the judgment of a seat of Christ daily, we have to give answer to God for our behaviors. When I want to tell that fellow off that just did something, and I want to say something that I shouldn't say, and I want to do what I want to do at the moment, rather than going that route, and those who know me best know that I have that issue, and I have that problem, and those that don't know that, just hang around me a while, and you'll see. It'll pop up. I've got to keep that under subjection. Because I don't have the right just to act any way I want to. I belong to the Lord. He sent His Son, if I'm His child, for me. The sins I committed put nails in His hands and in His feet. The sins that I committed caused the crown of thorns to be placed on His head. The sins that I committed caused His back to be ripped open and beaten. The sins that I committed caused the earth to be dark for 3 hours as the wrath of God the Father was poured out on His own Son. Because what I deserve, Jesus took. And every time I walk any old way I want to and do any old thing I want to because I feel at the moment I'd like to do it, I need to understand what that is really in the sight of God. I'm His servant. And you're His servant too, by the way. You say, well, I know the preacher's His servant. Listen, I know the Apostle Paul was His servant. But not only was the Apostle Paul and the ministers of that day His servant, the ministers of this day are also His servants. And that not only is the ministry His servant, that is those who preach before you, but each one of you have a ministry. You have a calling and a responsibility. I don't know what it is, what the Lord's call is upon your life, but I know we ought to be looking. Lord, help me walk like I'm supposed to walk where I am, doing what I do on my day-to-day activity. Somebody might say, well, I do this job and it really won't matter how I act over at this job. We never know who we're dealing with in this world. Sometimes we entertain angels unawares. Sometimes it's a little child of grace before regeneration that we're looking at and talking to, who's acting so ornery and hard-headed and so in such a way that we feel like that fellow needs to be told off. So we think we are the ones called to do that. So we end up trying to do something that God told us never to do. We'll just tell them how it is. You ever get the feeling like that? I'll just tell them how it is. The old devil runs you right down that road, and you go ahead and tell them how it is. And when you get feeling, and when you get done all of that, how do you feel? I know how you feel. You know how I know you how you feel? I wish I didn't know how you feel, because I've been there and I've done that. And you go, how could I, who have been forgiven so much, who have been so mercifully treated, who's had the grace of God shown to me in my life, who have been so foolish in my walk, so disobedient in my walk, so deceiving in my walk, how could I act like I act sometimes, thinking, looking down on others when they're acting just like I used to act and sometimes still do act? I wish I could say used to all the time. Don't you wish you could just say, I'm over that? If you think you're over, just hang in there a while. It'll pop back up. As long as you're in this old flesh, you're going to have a battle. What I'm saying to you this morning is fight that good fight, because you belong to Him. You are His. He will never let go of you. He loved you that much that Jesus died for you. He's worked that work of grace in your heart. He's made you a new creature. You're born of His Spirit. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And He's created you unto good works. And it's important that you and I understand the doctrines of grace. It isn't about living any old way you want to, and grace will take care of it. I've known some people that love the sound of grace because they thought it meant I can live and do anything I want to, just like I have a free license to live any old way, and God's grace is just going to take care of me. If you believe that today, you have a misunderstanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, grace will take care of it. But I'll tell you what else grace will do. It'll whip you. Grace will correct you. Grace will break your heart. Grace will cause you to not sleep at night. Grace will cause you to weep. Grace will cause you to grieve. And when we're on the wrong path, God loves us enough to correct us, to chasten us, to scourge us, to correct us, to bring us back into the right path, to even send a preacher to us to teach us and correct us with stuff at the moment we may not even want to hear. It may step all over your toes. Grace will step all over your toes. But it doesn't leave you without comfort, does it? I need a little comfort, don't you? I need to know where to go. I need to know what to do. I need a place of refuge. I need a place of strength. I need a place of help. I can't handle this life on my own. I'm not my own. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm anything at all, in any way, good way, I belong to Him. And as He said here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And when is the Lord in you? May not get to Titus, but it's okay. When is the Lord in you? When is the Lord in you? When you're born of the Spirit, He takes up His abode in your heart and He's in you 24/7. He's not just in you when you get to church on Sunday. You know, we can all dress up pretty good and come in and sit down and look all just like we ought to be for a little while. But when we go out the door, He's still in you. When you go to bed tonight, He'll be in you. When you get up in the morning, He'll be in you. And He'll be in you. And here's good news. When you're pressing the dying pillar and about to leave this world, He is with you. He is in you. When I may get to the place I don't know who you are, and you may get to the place you don't know who I am, and both of us may get to the place where we don't really care about any of that, but the Lord will still be in us. Isn't that good to know that I can lose my mind? And not even know I'm hardly on planet Earth, but the Lord who is in you will always be in you. And the reason He's in you is because He chose you before the very foundation of the world, and then He sent His Holy Spirit into your heart. He didn't do that through the preacher. He did it by His own power, and Jesus Christ came into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He's taken up His abode there. And when He did that, He made you a new creature, a new creation. Born of His Spirit, born again. And you are no longer your own. You're bought with a price. That's what He's saying here. Which is in you, which you have of God. That means you didn't get it on your own. You didn't work it. It wasn't by the good works of your own hands. It wasn't by anything you had done. But this is what you have, which is of God. And get this, and ye are not your own. I need to remind Gary Oots of that a lot. I'm not my own. And I imagine I could take my name out and put your name in and it would work just fine. I know it would. You belong to the Lord. Little child of God, God's been good to you. Would any of us dare say the Lord hadn't been good to me? He's blessed me so much. He's been with me so much. I owe Him everything. Jesus paid it all, we sing. And all to Him I owe. I hope we do more than just sing it, though. May the Lord bless us to realize that. Just look around and think about how good the Lord has been to you. I know we could all look at things and say, well, I need this, I don't have that. And the old devil loves to throw up what isn't happening and what isn't going right. But I'm telling you, look around what the Lord, look what's in your arms. Look what's sitting beside you. Look what the Lord has done for you in supplying all your needs. When you've been in doubt and you've been in fear and you didn't have a clue about what was going on, God was working all the time. When things weren't working the way you wanted them to work, God was working all along. And somewhere in your life, He came and shook up your life. A life that would have never looked to Him, never trusted in Him, never leaned upon Him, never called upon Him. We would have gone the other direction and died in that state and then been cast eternally away from Him in a real place that has everlasting fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And He has delivered us from that and has given us a life to live. Is it too much at all? I say not, for us to live our lives in a way to honor Him. That's the gospel. It's the gospel according to godliness. He says, for ye are bought with a price. And what price bought us? It wasn't because we got it all straight. It wasn't because we sold everything and got it straight. Listen, we could sell everything. We could give Him everything we have. It wouldn't pay the price. We don't have the sufficiency. We don't have the will to do it. We don't have the ability to do it. We don't have the riches to do it. It took a great price to pay our sin debt. And that price was given when the Lord gave His only begotten Son, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Jesus came willingly into this world. He knew exactly who He was coming for. He knew His people in covenant before the foundation of the world. They were foreknown of Him. They were predestinated to be conformed to His very image. And they are effectually called by Him. They were justified when He died on the cross of Calvary. And one day that we will be glorified with Him when we are a body, soul, and spirit with Him. And until that time, you and I are to occupy in this world till He comes. That is, each and every day belongs to Him. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's going to be true on Monday too. That'll also be true on Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week. Every day. Until we come to the day that we breathe our last breath, and then we're going to be absent from the body, and then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to live is Christ. For to me, and that's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, for to me to live is Christ, and then to die is gain. He says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So is my body my own? If I'm a little child of grace, it says my body is His. It belongs to Him. Men don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear. And we would not want to hear that had not God caused us to understand it. It's not bad news to me to know that I belong to Him. Matter of fact, that's the best news I can think about. Because when I'm on my own, I'm in trouble. If it's all about me, I'm in trouble. And listen, if it's all about me, you're in trouble. It's all about Him, isn't it? It's all about what He has done for us. And with Him and by Him and through Him, we can do what He would have us to do. That's why we're to look to Him. We will get back to Titus 3, even if it's just for a little while. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. The them under consideration here is God's children that the Apostle Paul was called to preach to. The doctrine he was to preach would be according to God's elect. He says that over in the first verse. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. God has an elect people. And to that elect people, he's given a body of truth. He has given a faith that's once delivered to the saints. He's given them a body of truth that we're to believe. That is what the minister is to preach to God's little children. What the truth of God's word declares that we need to know in this world that prepares us to live in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. We need to know that we're saved by grace. We need to know that it was He who reached down and touched us and not us who reached up and touched Him. We need to know that when we are unable to do anything, we don't have strength in ourselves, but we have strength in Him. We need to know how we are supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to know how the church is supposed to operate and what we're to allow and what we're not to allow, and the guidance and the direction that comes as God's little children and living in this world in a way to honor Him. We need to know that because He's given us that truth, and the apostle was called to declare that. The apostle Paul was not called to make sheep. He wasn't called to make little lambs and children of God. He could not do that. He couldn't do it for himself, and he couldn't do it for others, but he was called to feed them. He was called to teach them. And he was called to write by the grace of God and the power of God the words that we are reading now. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is the faith of God's elect. What is this Bible? It's the faith of God's elect. It's the body of truth that we're to believe. That's why it's important for us to be settled on what the Bible says. That's what we want. We don't want any more than what it says. We don't want any less than what it says. We want what the Bible says. That's why the preacher is to come and not preach the newspaper or not preach politics or not preach any of those other things, but he's to come and preach the Word. And he's to preach it in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And as that applies to our life, to our politics, to whatever, yes, there's an application to that, but it's the principles. It's the truth of God's Word. It's the faith of God's elect that God's little children need to know so that we understand how we're supposed to live. And that is in a very basic way. That is how we're to treat one another in our families. How husbands are to love their wives. One of my wife's favorite verse, if I ever ask her, what do you want us to prove? I need a verse to preach on. She says, preach on husbands, love your wives. She's done that for 40 years. Husbands, love your wives. And I've needed that instruction too. As Christ loved the church. Can you imagine that? That's a good family, isn't it? When the husband loves his wife as the wife, and then of course the wife is to submit herself unto her husband. Now sometimes they might not like that part as much, but listen, when the husband loves his wife, there's no problem with the wife submitting unto the husband, because when the husband loves his wife, he's going to do those things which are in her best interest, and he's going to do things that are in the family's best interest, and then the wife falls into place as we are to submit ourselves unto Christ. The wife submits to a good, godly, faithful husband who is listening to the Lord, who's loving her, willing to give his life for her, willing to die for her, willing to do whatever it is in her best interest. It's no problem loving and submitting to that kind of husband. Didn't say submit to a man that's running off and doing every other kind of thing, but when we get in the right order of God's Word, isn't it wonderful as we line up with God's Word, our lives come together. It doesn't break your life apart. It doesn't break your family apart. It doesn't cause problems in your home. It's what brings your homes together. That's why our homes need to be filled with the instruction that comes from God's Word. That's why good godly fathers need to be studying God's Word and then sharing that and walking by that. And that's why our good godly wives ought to be praying and loving and doing the things that the Bible declares for us to do. He lays a whole lot of that in chapter 2 in Titus. This is not a long book. Just read it. Oh, I can't encourage you enough to read God's Word. This is real, dear ones. I need it. I need the instruction that comes from His Word in order to not be a mess. Because without Him, I'm a mess. And without Him, you're a mess. Without Him, I'm always messing up. I'm always saying the wrong thing. I'm always speaking up when I'm supposed to be quiet. And I'm always quiet when I'm supposed to stand up. And I don't know how to walk and to live. And I don't know how to pastor. And I don't know how to be the husband that I want to be to my wife. And the father and the grandfather that I want to be to my grandchildren. I don't know how to do that on my own. But I'm telling you from God's Word, we can be what He would have us to be. And whatever your position is in the family, you need Him in His Word to help you. And it's a help. It's a very present help. And if you're living your life without that, you're just walking along in the broad way waiting for the mess to happen. And maybe it's already happened. As a matter of fact, we know it's already happened, don't we? You know, what family do we have here that's not a mess? Somebody might say, look, my family's not a mess. Give me a few minutes. Don't want to be harsh here. But I want to be truthful. You know how many of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Every one of us. You know how many of us could make it to heaven on our own? Not a single one. You know how many of us would want that on our own? Not a one. You know how many of us would love the Lord as much as we ought to on our own? We could not and we would not. You know how many of us would want to be any part of His church, which has been such a blessing to me all the days of my life? You know how much of this I would have wanted on my own? Not one bit of it. And every good thing that I have in my life and your life's filled with some good things, aren't they? It's come to us because of a loving Savior and the grace of Almighty God. And God forbid I'd ever say anything else other than that. Or that I'd ever tell any of my kids or my grandchildren anything other than that. That their faith would ever stand in me rather than in Him. But I'm telling you, we got some solid ground to stand on in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a little Savior. He's not a little God. He's not just a little bit wise. He is full of wisdom. He's not just rich. He's the richest of the rich. He is the only one that has what we need and the only one we truly need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, put them, that is God's little children, in mind. That is to instruct them, to have them thinking about this, to be subject to principalities. There are powers and there are things that are in place in this world that are not there by happenstance. Our God is in control. He doesn't cause all things to be. He's not the author of evil men or the author of the wicked. He's not the author of sin. But I'm telling you, our God is on His throne and He's in control. And when the powers that be, you and I are to submit to the powers that be as long as God's Word is not in conflict with that. In other words, as much as we can, we ought to follow every law that's passed. As much as we can, we ought to follow what's laid down by those in places of authority, whether it be a king, or whether it be a president, or whether you voted for him, or whether you didn't, or whatever happened there, we're to recognize that these people are in authority, and we ought to be careful. And I'm talking to me more than anybody else here today. If it fits you, you follow along. But this is what the Word of God says about it. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. In Galatians, when we read about that, I think of that scripture over in Galatians that talks about to every good work. He says, as we therefore, here's a good verse to have as a guide for us every day. Galatians 6 and 10. He says, as we have therefore opportunity. That means every chance you get. You know, every chance I get, sometimes it's not good things I'm looking to do. Every chance I get. Here's a good thing you can look to do every chance you get. He says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Let us do good unto all men. That means the men you kind of like and the men you don't care too much for. The ones that's easy to do good for, and those that seems to be so hard to do. It says, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And then he goes on, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That means every chance we get, we ought to be looking for an opportunity to do good unto our brethren. I'm so thankful that we see that among you. And I'm thankful that I feel that in my own life. I've enjoyed a lot of your goodness down through the years, what you've shown to me and have been for me. And I hope and pray we can say that about one another. Isn't it wonderful? I've heard it said even about this little church at times, how much the brethren have meant to those who've been praying. You've been praying for. It's meant a lot to them that you've been praying for them. It's meant a lot to them, the things that you've done along the way. And I want to encourage you in that. But it didn't just say to those of the household of faith. It says to do it to all men. That means I am supposed to respond and act in this world like a little child of God and a servant of God when I'm at church. But the way I answer the phone to a church member ought not be any different than the way I answer the phone to anybody else. And there are sometimes my answers are not in the same disposition or attitude. Maybe that doesn't affect you. I got a feeling it does, but maybe it doesn't. If it doesn't, thank the Lord for that. But if it does, let us remember that we are to do what? We're to shine as lights in this world. That everyone we meet along life's way, we want to remember that we are do not belong to ourselves. We belong unto Him, so that our walk and our talk and our actions and our behaviors give honor and glory to the Lord. And this isn't so that they think we're something. But we ought to act in a way that they would understand our isn't our. I believe our Savior is He can't be any better than He is. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. He said in verse 2, to speak evil of no man. I don't know how that hits you, but it sure hits me. To speak evil of no man. That means we need to have our, as he says in another place, to have our speech seasoned with grace. So that before I talk, I think about what I'm saying. So that it doesn't mean you don't stand for what's right. It doesn't mean you call what's wrong right. It doesn't mean you go along with all the things that are wrong. But it means the way we do it is an example. We follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was meek and lowly in heart. And sometimes old Gary is a brawler. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler. And a brawler isn't just someone who punches somebody. A brawler can do that with words just as quick as they can do it with fists. A brawler. I've been cut, and I've done some cutting in my time with words. And I've never found them to be of any benefit in my family. Sometimes I think back in my own life and I wish I'd have said it differently. I wish I'd have spoken differently. I wish I could undo that. I wish I could fix that. And I can't do anything about what I've done, but I can, by the grace of God, be better when I'm using my tongue. That's what he's saying here. As a little child of God, this is right where it gets, you know, as you live in your life, this is how we live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, hear this, but gentle. Oh, gentleness, doesn't it go a long ways? Gentleness just heals so much. And Jesus told us how to do that. Jesus taught us. He always said just the right thing, but he was always gentle. He was, and that didn't mean he wasn't strong at times. In other words, he was always strong. It was never that he wasn't strong, but he was strong and gentle at the same time. And if you think of those characters, of those individuals in your life that have meant the most to you and have been the most help to you, were they not gentle? Were they not leading with the word of God, but they were doing it in such a way they were not driving, as one brother said, We're to shepherd sheep. We don't drive cattle. We're to feed little lambs and sheep. We're not feeding chickens. We don't throw it at them, you know. We got to treat. We got to be gentle. And the servant of the Lord must be gentle. Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Even teaching those who oppose themselves. We can be standing for just the right way, right thing, but doing it in just the wrong way. May God help us to do it as the Lord has taught us. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Shewing all meekness unto all men. And then, I'll read the text. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Here, this is why. Because when you're talking to other folks and you think they're so dumb, they just don't get it. I need to tell them just what's happening. They need someone to show them the right way. And I think I'm the one to do it. And I just take it upon myself to let them have it with both barrels. When we do that, brethren, I'm telling you. He says we should remember that we ourselves also were sometimes, think about where we've been. Have you ever been foolish? Have you ever been disobedient? Have you ever been deceived? Have you ever been serving your different divers lusts and pleasures? That means I'm just doing my thing, having my fun, living in malice and envy, and get this, hateful and hating one another. That's where we were. But something happened, didn't it? I can tell something happened to you. You haven't left already. You've listened to all this. It's been pretty hard in some ways today. And you're still here. Maybe you wanted to leave and just didn't want to upset me. I hope that's not the case. He says, but after that the kindness and love of God appeared, and I like to think about that as appeared to me. When I could see what he's done for me. This old foolish thing that I am, this old deceived thing that I was, this old individual that I still am. I have this old vile body still to contend with. When I would do good, just like brother prayed in his prayer, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. I have that constant battle, but that doesn't mean I'm not his. As a matter of fact, that's a great evidence. If you see that this morning, that's a great evidence you're one of his elect that he loved before the foundation of the world. Listen, there's a lot of them. They're out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And if you even want to be one of them, I believe that gives evidence that you are one. And that means a whole... It's not just old Baptists. Boy, that would be just a small little flock in heaven. It's out of every nation, out of every tongue, out of every people. Not those I chose, but those he chose. And he works that in their hearts, and the grace and the kindness and the love of God. And he's the God who's our Savior, not wanting to be a Savior. He's the God of all grace who brings salvation. God's grace brings salvation. It doesn't offer it. It brings it. It knocks you down with it. Now what happened to the Apostle Paul? He knocked the stuffings out of him. I mean, he was on his way to do every harm he could to God's people. And he saw fit to knock him down on the way. And don't you think the Apostle Paul didn't see that as the kindness and the love of God? And when it appeared to him, it made everything different. Does it make everything different with you? It ought to. And in our hearts, we know it does. But oh, help me, O Lord, keep that old man under submission. That's the battle. Because he wants to rule and reign. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ can we keep him under submission. He says, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done. Can't get any plainer than that, can you? But according to his mercy. That's what did it. Mercy did it. He saved us. Did it say he tried to save you? He offered you salvation. If you do something, he'd give it to you. No, he saved you. He saved you by his mercy. He came to you when you weren't looking to him. And he did that by the washing of regeneration. That means he regenerated you. He made you a new creature. You are not your own. You belong to him. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, he tells us in Colossians 3. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost takes up his abode in your heart, things are then different with you. Which he shed on us abundantly through Christ, Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, that's how we are washed in His blood, we should be made heirs. That's what we will be made, according to the hope of eternal life. And that's one day that we'll be with Him forever in heaven and immortal glory. And this is without anything that we've done. Somebody said, well, isn't that a get out of jail free card, so to speak? No, listen what He says. And this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, is that you? You believe in Him? You believe in Him? If you believe in Him, it's because He gave you that. And if you believe in Him, He says you might be careful to maintain good works. Not in order that you would get to be His, but because you are His. See the difference? These things are good and profitable unto men. And that's what the Apostle Paul was given, that he was to preach. And it's what's also given to us that we're to preach and we're to continue to preach. And we're to teach that to one another. Listen, little children of God, we have the responsibility to live as His little children because of all the wonderful things He has done for us. And that is to His honor and to His praise and to His glory. And that's that straight and narrow path that leads unto life. May the Lord bless us to strive to enter into it more and help one another. That's what the church does. It helps one another. It helps keep us accountable. That's why there's church discipline, to help keep us accountable, to remind us that this is what the Lord says. And we have that duty, if we love one another, to do that for one another and with one another. We're to do it in our families. We're to do it in our church. We're to do it with one another. You see Brother Gary getting out of the way, you need to remind him. Remember to be gentle. Don't be a brawler. And when I remind you, I want to be gentle, not be a brawler. But we need to remind one another, brother, sister, remember what the Lord says. So when y'all hear me, and you will, start speaking evil of some man. So easy to do, isn't it? It can happen so quickly. The devil will let you think, well, I'm just saying the truth. He didn't say it wasn't the truth. Is it edifying? Is it profitable? Does it build up the little children of God? Or does it tear down? Does it help someone's character? Or does it bring reproach to them? He said, speak evil. That one really hit me. I'm leaving it with you because I need it. Speak evil of no man. May the Lord help me do that better. To His honor and to His praise and to His glory. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
451.